So this morning, you might want to have a piece of paper, or I'm even letting you have your phone or something that you can write on, because I'm going to get you just to assess things in your life. This week, in my B&I group that some of you know, it's a business group that a network that I go along to every week. And every week they have two people share for 8 minutes. And I'm sitting there on Wednesday, and one of the people that was to do the 8 minutes wasn't there. And so I text the guy who leads it and says, "Mate, I can do your 8 minutes if you want impromptu." And he goes, "Yeah, okay," because I had plenty of time. So I got up and I did a thing on life balance. And it was a very quick thing. It took me 8 minutes to do. But as I did it, I felt it was something I should do in church. And I looked back at my notes and I saw that the last time I actually did it in church was 2015. And it was, so I thought, yeah, I think you can bring it around again and talk about it. So I just wanted to, especially as we set going into this year, my question is your life in balance? Have you got a good balance in your life? And in saying that, I actually believe that getting balance all the time is actually a myth. Life is about juggling things. Life is about getting it into balance. And you might have it for one day during the year, you go, "Ha, everything's in balance." And then the rest of the time you're spent juggling. You're moving things around. You're trying to just assess. And so I feel we've got to continually just reassess our life and go, what is out of balance in my life? Now, in saying that, I also believe the stages in life and the stages that we can go through in our time of the year, you can go through stages. And, you know, you may go through a busy stage at work where, mate, work's demanding me, I have to do overtime, I'm doing all this sort of thing. But I say that any stage shouldn't probably be more than 3 months, because it's a season. It might be a season of busyness, but if it goes longer than 3 months, that it's actually turned into being part of your lifestyle, and you've got to say, is that what I really want? Do I really want that in my life? Now, there's all sorts of stages. I wrote down here, there's a stage where you go to school. There's a stage where you leave school and you go to uni. I can remember going to uni. It was a great time. I loved it. I went over to Hamilton, and even though Hamilton's not the... No, someone might be from Hamilton here. It's not bad, yeah. Great people over in Hamilton. I had a great time at uni over there for 4 years, and then ended up working, single working. Then you go into another stage, dating stage. I'm glad that's over. It was fun, but, you know, you get in the stage where you get married. Married, no children, mate, that was a different stage. And then I've got, you got stage with, for us it was married one child, married two child, married three children, married four children all in school. And this is where it stopped for me last time I did this message. I had four kids in school. But now I've moved on to the next stage where I've got all three have left home except one. So out of the four, we got one at home, and they've all finished school, and life changes. It's a different stage, and coming up sometime soon is the stage when they're all gone, and that would be very sad, won't it? Yes. And that you're just going through these stages in life. There's a stage where, you're working, a stage where you're retired, semi-retired, the stage where there's grandkids or not grandkids. There's all these stages you go through in life, and you've just got to juggle and readapt and work out how you're going to make the most of these stages. They're just seasons. And the only thing that I think, though, is that you are in control of your life. I think a lot of times we let life control us. Whereas I think times we've got to go, no, I've got to make the changes if I need to make the change. I've got to set the boundaries. Are you good at setting boundaries in your life? I've got to make the things that are important and do the things, especially the busier it gets. I'm conscious that life is busy, although I was having a discussion with my two boys the other day, and for all our negatives of the way life is right now, we're actually living in the best the world has ever had to offer, in a sense of luxury, and none of us are in a I hope no one's in a clay floor house with bricks, or just, like when you look at where we live compared to 100 years ago, every one of them would have loved all the luxuries that we have, you know, those luxuries that we have, you know, those, how many of you can remember the craze where everyone used to get those little things to put your feet in, you know, the little foot spa things? Does anybody still use it? No. Oh, okay. Okay, there we go. Oh, yeah. I don't know why that came up as a luxury, but anyhow, you know, so... But you know, in a sense, you know, we can get so busy, and probably this is the main reason for me talking about this, is that our life gets so full of stuff, God gets pushed out. And in our pressure of everything that we're trying to do, we miss God in our daily walk, we miss God in our life, in our interaction. And so this is about, for me, about going, hey, can you get balance in life? So... A few years ago, we used to do this survey, which I think we may be going to do again and sometime soon, called the Natural Growth Survey. And in this survey, they looked at 8 areas of the church. And so you'd do this questionnaire and everybody would answer, and it'd look at 8 different parts of the church. And then it used the concept, and I'm sorry I didn't do a PowerPoint this morning. I kept thinking, oh, I just didn't get around to it, actually, to be totally honest. But I have this picture, and I'm going to try and show you the picture of this barrel. Okay, so this barrel, if you can see it, has got a whole lot of slats. It's a barrel, and all the slats are different heights. Okay, so the issue is that the capacity of this barrel is going to be determined by the lowest slat, isn't it? You know, no matter how much water you put in, oh, my phone's talking to me. No matter how much water you put in, it's going to go up to the level of the lowest slat and then overflow. And so what this it's called the minimum barrel concept or whatever, is that basically no matter what you do to, and if these are represent areas of your life, those different slats, the lowest one is determining your capacity. And that... No matter how much you increase in maybe one of the other slats and, you know, work on that area of your life, it's not going to increase the capacity of your life. So the thing is to look out and to go through and go, what's the lowest area of my life, and work on that. And as I talk through it, you'll understand. So I've got 8 areas that I've just put through that I've gone, hey, these are worthwhile as assessing in our life to see whether we've got good balance. And so the first one to start with is work. Work, school, retired, whatever your area of life is that has something that you've got to do. Proverbs 12:11 says, hard work means prosperity. Only fools idle away their time. And 2 Thessalonians 3:6 says this, and now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives. And don't follow the tradition they receive from us, for you know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked hard day and night so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We certainly had the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. Even while we were with you, we gave you this command: those unwilling to work will not get to eat. We don't really follow that as a nation, do we, really? But here it is in the Bible. I go, hey, mate, you want to be working. So we've all got to work. So I want you to look at your work in your life and ask yourself, out of 10, I always like things out of 10, how balanced is my work in the rest of my life? Am I working hundreds of hours, doing lots of overtime, or have I got it just right? Or am I even, you know, perhaps not doing enough? I've become a little bit lazy in what I'm doing, and I'm just sitting around not doing anything. I'm idle in my time. Just have a look at your life and assess. So 10 means, mate, I've got it perfectly in balance. 1 means my work's taken over my life, and it could even be that you hate work. I'm amazed how many people don't enjoy the work that they're doing. And something like the statistics are 80% of people do not like their job. And I go, whoa, I love my job. Would you do your job if they didn't pay you? That's a great question. Oh, I would. I'd love it. So it's about assessing your life and seeing whether it's consuming you or not. And here's just a couple of questions that I put. Do you enjoy work? Do you try to leave work on time? Do you stay too long? Do you do a lot of overtime? Does your work situation stress you out? Do you get on well with everyone you work with? That could affect your work. You might go, mate, I love my job, but the people I work with, I love the people I work with just because most of you know the people I work with, so I love them, they're fantastic. Do you wake up in the morning going, great, I want to go to work, or do you wake up in the morning going, oh, I wish I could turn over and go back to bed? So assess that, put something down there. And I've got this little saying that I'm going to say at the end of each one is the first thing is to identify the problem. The second thing is you've got to decide what are you going to do about it. So you may come to a conclusion, hey, my work, it's just, I need to relook at it. I need to get a new job this year. I need to change my career. Mate, it could be the opportunity to do that. Okay, second thing. So you all got that? You got that out of 10? You've written that down? Good, good. Okay, family. Family. 1 Timothy 3:4 to 5 says, he must manage his family well, having children who respect and obey him. For if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? And Psalm 68:6 says, God places the lonely in families. So look, we need to ensure that our families are getting a fair amount of time. And look, it's subjective what's the right amount of time. And you've got to work out what fits for you and what's good for you. What I want you to do with this is A and B. A is, if you're married, I want you to look at your marriage and say, is my marriage getting a good part of my time? Am I sowing into my marriage? Am I having a date night once a month? Is it in good stead? Are we spending good time together? Are we doing some shared experiences that we do together? How's your marriage? Okay, out of 10, how's your marriage? And then the second part is, okay, your family, your immediate family, and maybe the in-laws and the outlaws, you could throw them in there as well if you wanted. How's that working for you? And just out of 10, where is it? Is it something where you go, man, our marriage is in the best place it's ever been? Or, oh, our marriage's got a couple of things to work on. That's fine. Identify it, put it down, don't shy away from it, but out of 10, where do you put that? Again, what you've got to do is then identify it, and then you've got to decide, what am I going to do about it? Okay. Now look, these things all work in together. You know, like I said, the minimum barrel, if work was your minimum barrel, I can guarantee, you know, your minimum slat, I can guarantee that if your work is consuming too much of your life or is too stressful, I can guarantee that it's affecting your marriage and your family. And so if you get your marriage, if you get your work right, it'll have flow-on effects that will help your marriage. Because these things are all interacting. Nothing's an island. They're all affecting everything else. And why, if you work on the minimum one and lift it up, it'll have an effect on all the others. Okay, third one, finances. Whether you like it or not, our finances have a large effect on our lives. They have a big effect, and I think statistics used to be that the 50% of divorces over finances is the reason that they end up in major trouble. So finances cause a lot of pressure, and financial pressure has an effect. And again, if your finances are in trouble, you're probably having to work longer hours. That's then putting pressure on. You know, they're all interrelated. So how are your finances? Luke 8:14 says, the thorny ground represents those who hear and accept the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so they never grow to maturity. We've got to look at money. Money can be thorns that choke the life out of you and affect you. So how's your finances? Are they in a good state? And here we go. Here's some of the questions I've got. Have you got margins for unexpected expenses or emergencies? Are finances under pressure? If you were to sell everything you had, all your assets, would you be debt-free? Are you in control of your credit card? Have you got good saving, budget-wise decision? And you may go, okay, yep, 8, 9 out of 10, we're in a great position financially. Or you might go, hey, mate, this is something I've got to work on. Again, it may end up being the lowest, and you go, right, this year I'm going to work on budgeting. I'm going to go get some help. I remember Eleanor and I did the CAP course, and one of the best things we got out of the CAP course was it talked about putting things in barrels and living by cash. So, you know, getting the cash out at the beginning of the week that you're going to spend, because there's something about giving cash over and feeling it disappear and knowing that you've only got this much left that actually can help you budget better. And you might be able to give that as advice to someone, but then you just say, right, you get out exactly what you need for the week. And because one of the things that happens is with our cards, we don't follow. And a lot of people don't even know how much is they're spending just because it's so easy. Whereas the cash just makes you a little bit, you're a bit more aware of it. Okay, so identify the problem, decide what is it you're going to do about it. So finances out of 10. You all got that. Okay, for health. Physical health plays a real big part in our lives. And, you can have everything else right in your life and suddenly you've got something happening physically. And I don't know about you, it's amazing how much that slows you down, affects your life, consumes you. It just affects. So how's your health? Do you prioritize your health? Are you eating well? And if you're not, you can go talk to Sean and Ruth because I know that they did last year a course on eating well. That's right, isn't it? Yeah. What's your diet like? Proverbs 3:8 says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn back on evil. Verse 8, then you will gain renewed health and vitality. And Psalm 38:3, because of your anger, my whole body is sick. My heart health is broken because of my sins. Okay, there's a spiritual connection to our health. But what are you doing about your health? Are you exercising? Are you looking after yourself? Are you doing the best that you can with what you have? I can't have Sean's body. I have to work with my body. And we're all different. But you got to work out what's good health for you. And there's real benefits. So here's my questions. Are you healthy? Are you regular exercising? Do you have a lot of injuries? I must say nowadays, when I get injuries, they seem to take way longer to get right. And it's just part of that age. But the more fit you are, the quicker, the more the blood's flowing and all that sort of stuff. So how's your health? Identify the problem and do something about it. Okay, fifth one I've got. Ministry volunteer service. I believe everybody should do something where they give their time in a sense for no financial reward. So it's something that you input into people. Colossians 4:17 said, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord has given you. So what sort of ministry are you doing? What's God called you to do? Are you fulfilling what God's called you to do? Everybody should be involved in giving something, I believe. And, you know, look, as a pastor over the years, I think everyone should be looking at, is there something I can do on Sunday? And then is there something I can be involved with during the week outside of that? Which may be in church, it may not be in church. That doesn't work. It might be a connect group. But is there something on Sunday that you go, yeah, I'm a part, I do it. Hopefully, one of the things you want in church is that you don't want 20% of the people doing 80% of the jobs. You actually want everybody doing something. In our household, everybody has to do a job. My wife is relentless on making sure the kids do a job every day. Put out the washing, do the dishes, empty the dishwasher. We don't get to stack the dishwasher because none of us can do it properly. But we do get to empty the dishwasher, do the dishes. Everybody should do a job. Well, I think it's the same in church. This is your family. The church isn't my church, it's our church. We're in this together. It's everyone together that's a part of it. And there's something about when we all do something where we put something into it that we actually become to feel a part of it. And so how involved, what are you doing for voluntary stuff? And again, are you giving into something that you won't get a direct return from? And do you feel like you're making a difference? Sometimes these things that we do voluntary are some of the best things we feel like we're making a difference in the world. Okay, number six. Relationship with God. 1 John 4:13. to 16 says, this is how we know we're living steadily and deeply in him and he in us. He has given us life, from his very own spirit. Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well. We've embraced it heart and soul. This love comes from God, this relationship with God. So how's your relationship with God? Now, I know it is one of those things you've got to, again, keep working on. It's not something, I gave my life to Jesus and now it just works. It is something that you've got to go, hey, I'm going to put time aside for it. I'm going to input into my relationship with God. However that works for you, where is your relationship with God? Are you hearing from him? When's the last time God spoke to you? When's the last time that you suddenly gone, man, I just feel close to God? What is it that you do that helps you get close to God? I know, you know, for a lot of people, like, I just love walking on the beach. I don't know what it is for me, but when I go for a walk on the beach, there's something about this connection with God. Maybe for you, getting out in creation and doing something connects you with God. How is your relationship with God? So again, here's some of the questions. Are you getting regular time with God on a one-on-one basis? How's your prayer life? How's your Bible reading? And I know Eleanor gave out this morning in town, and she'll probably do it when she comes out here, a Bible reading program for the year. That could be just what you need. How's your Bible reading going? Are you regularly hearing from God? Have you grown spiritually in the last month? Do you feel like you've grown spiritually? Have you received input lately? Have you given out input? Because giving out is just as important as receiving. So how's your relationship with God out of 10? Okay, number 7, two more. Friendships. A friend is always loyal and a brother is born to help in a time of need. How's your friendships? Do you have good friends? And I do find, and this is just a generalization, that a lot of men don't have friends. They might have one or two that they used to have when they were at school, but they're not interacting on a monthly basis. Is there people that you've spent time with and that you've got as friends? We all need friends. My spouse is not going to fulfill all my friendship needs. I need other friends. Have you got other friends that you go do things with? Go out for dinner, go play games, I don't know, go play golf with. Have you got some friends in your life? How are your friends? Is it growing? Have you got a new friend in the last 6 months? Friendships change. Friendships change. And look, one of the biggest things about friendship is it's just seeing each other on a regular basis. I think we underestimate the power of just coming to church every week. Like I said at the start, I'm in a BNI group, so we meet every week. I am amazed how just meeting every week with these people, even though I don't do anything really outside with them, how they've become friends. Because I just see them every week. We say hello and we talk and that. It's the same in church. You're just seeing each other each week, you build that friendship. Now, you need to go on from that, but it's the start in building friendships. It's amazing how, you know, over the years, different people have moved away from church and how I find our friendships are just not the same just because I'm just not seeing them every week. Friendships are built by just time. And, you know, you don't have in-depth conversations all the time, but if you're in good relationships with them, when you need that in-depth, you can because you've got that contact. So how's your friendship going? I read Proverbs 17:70. A friend is always loyal and a brother is born to help in a time of need. Life is about journeying with others. Do you have at least 3 good friends who you can hang out or chat with regularly? Have you done something with a friend in the last month? Have you gained a new friend in the last 4 months? How's your friendships going? Yeah, and again, rated out of 10. And you may go, hey, that's the one area that I need to look at. Number 8, last one. Recreation. 3 John 2 says, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Some versions say, even as your soul prospers. Have you got something that recreates? Recreation is recreation. It's actually something that does you good. This is where you can be selfish. You need something that re-gets you going. And look, you know, I hate to say it, guys, but for women, it could be shopping. It could be just going and doing something. If you guys had the look of, oh my goodness, please no. What is it that does it? It could be a sport. It could be, what is this thing that you do that helps you, you know, just rebuild yourself, that lets you blow off steam, that just does something for you? Now, there are great things that maybe you do together as a spouse, but not necessarily. But I think if you've ever read His Needs, Her Needs, How to Affair-Proof Your Marriage, it has 10 things for guys and, sorry, 5 things for guys and 5 things for girls. And one of the things often guys need is a recreational partner, someone they're going to go do some recreation with. And it's great if it can be your spouse. It's not all the time, but sometimes it is, because sometimes we just need time alone by ourselves without our spouse, don't we? Yeah. Don't say that too loud. Everybody needs something to enjoy that refreshes them. When's the last time you did something for yourself? Do you do something regularly? Do you have an annual holiday, extra holiday? Just do you do something that recreates yourself? Okay, there's your 8 areas. The issue, though, is not the 8 areas. It's what's your lowest? What's your lowest 2? And whatever the lowest 2 are, they're the ones that you go, okay, over the next month, I'm going to choose one of these and I'm going to try and do something about it to change my life. Something that's going to be good for me. So have a look at those areas. We can't work on everything at once, but I can tell you that if you work on one of those things that's low in your life, it will make a difference on the rest of your life. Again, you know, you work on your finances, it means you can do more with your wife and your wife can do more shopping. That's a good thing. What is it that you need to work on and get through? Life balance. Now, the funny thing is I once said this about getting your life in the balance, and someone said to me, well, do you really think that all the biblical characters had their life in balance? A lot of them were quite extreme, weren't they? They did extreme things. They really pushed to the end. And so although I go, yes, I want to have a balance on what I can control, I don't want to limit God, and I want to be someone who's believing that things are going to change and that things are going to move in my life. Okay, close your eyes and we'll pray. Father, I just thank you for each person here. And Lord, I pray that you've spoken into one area of their life, Lord, this morning. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to readjust and reassess. And Lord, that as we make decisions that will help us this year, Lord, to live a better life, Lord, to live and do what you've called us to do. Lord, I pray you'd help people. I pray you'd supernaturally resource them. Lord, I pray you give them faith, give them strength. Lord, give them a sense of your power. Lord, I pray that whatever's lacking in there, that, Lord, you would provide. And that, Father, that when they're looking at their life and their balance in 3 months' time, there's something else that they go, now, man, I've got that. That's a strength in my life now. Let's work on this, Father. Lord, I pray that we would be open and that we would work through and get that right balance in our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.